Quill Pinkies. This is the Bay Driver. And it's a lovely sunny day here in Vancouver. We're going out in the big black spy car today. We have many, many little chores to look after today. So it's going to be one of those stop and go. I'm going to drive for a little while and then I'll have to stop and do a little chore. Oh, it's so sunny. I'm going to need my sunglasses here. So I have a lot to tell you about. And I just want to give you a little warning because this could be the last time you hear from me. I know I say that all the time. I'm too busy. I can't podcast anymore. And then I put out another show. But seriously, folks, we're coming down to the wire. We are running out of time for this thing, this wedding thing. You know, I almost forgot. One of my chores today is I almost forgot to get the bloody wedding license. So I'm off to do that today. You know, there's about a month. I have a month. What is it? June 3rd that I'm recording this. So I officially have 1 month, about 32 days, maybe 33, before pledging my allegiance to the ring. Is that how it works? And I have some sad news for you today, too. So, but I'll save the sad news for the end. There's no need to be dwelling on the negative. All right, so what are we going to talk about today? Well, first of all, I guess we'll do a little bit of wedding. We'll talk some wedding prep here. Now, as you know, my family is not too keen on the fact that I'm marrying a boy, so I've sent everybody wedding invitations, and I haven't received any response, whether a positive or negative. I've received no response, but for one, and that is from my brother's wife. So this is my oldest brother. He is the most diametrically opposed to homosexuality in my family out of any of them. So, here's what happens. My brother is not coming to the wedding, but his wife and their son, their like grade 10, grade 11er son, are going to come. Isn't that something? Can you imagine the strife that is causing in my brother's household with his wife and son wanting to come to the gay wedding and my brother being totally opposed to it? So, this is very interesting to me. There's many facets of this that create some interest for me. One is the whole dynamic in the house with my brother's wife not paying attention to his wishes. Oh my goodness, I wonder what that's like. And then the second thing is, why does the son want to come? This is weird to me. Like, is the son a homosexual? I mean, there's a good chance, you know, it's all hereditary, this homosexuality stuff. And I'm really excited. I mean, I am just pleased pink that the two of them are coming, and I'm very happy that my little nephew wants to come to see his uncle marry his uncle. So I am very excited about that. So that's that. I want to say hi to George in Atlanta. Thanks for putting out another podcast. I wish you'd send me some music, mister. Could you just not make me a mixtape or something? Send out a George in Atlanta music mix sometime. Just a secret one. Just make a little secret one for me and me alone. Speaking of music mixes, I have been enjoying the Laughing Buddha and his recent lounge mixes. He did a Oh my fucking God, look at the traffic. Oh dear Gussie. Good thing I planned my route. Because today I went and did a circuitous route thinking that there might be a lot of traffic. So I'm on one of these roads where once you get on it, you cannot get off. So I have one chance to get off this slow traffic road, and I'm actually going to take it. So I've been enjoying Laughing Buddha, the Laughing Buddha Lounge. He did a world music mix, which was very nice, just recently. And prior to that, he did a classical music mix, which I also enjoyed and I listened to repeatedly. But I've been listening to repeatedly the George in Atlanta shows, or music mixes. What are they called, George? I can never remember them. You have too many bloody shows, George. Anyway, I'm running out. Time for some new ones. And I understand all of the ramifications of playing stolen music, but God, man. What's a guy gonna do? I'm up here in Vancouver. We don't get any music up here. I just want to say hi to Toppy Smelly because he was speaking on a couple shows ago how he fell asleep. I don't mean to belabor this, Toppy. I'm sure you're quite embarrassed, but I just laughed so hard that you fell asleep on the Pink Wheelnuts garage. Oh my God, that made me laugh. And I had no idea, Toppy, no idea whatsoever that you were snoring away, snoozing away. Oh dear, so funny. It is my fault because I did make all of my guests stay on 1 hour extra longer than they all probably wanted to, but so no hard feelings, Toppy. So sorry. So sorry to keep you up. So, you know, this whole wedding is happening, right? And I'm supposed to be concentrating on, you know, wedding stuff. For instance, getting a wedding license. And we got the ministers coming in a couple days to go over the, you know, the plan. Where do we stand? What scriptures do you want? What's the wedding, you know, what kind of vows and all that kind of stuff? Of course, none of that's prepared either. And the reason being is Mr. Anderson keeps making me work in the bloody yard. So we've been building a parking stall for a little green truck with a big heart, and so that project was done, and I thought, okay, good, well, now I can concentrate on the wedding. But no, the very next week, much to my surprise, we got the tree cutter man scheduled to come to the house and cut down a bunch of trees. And I'm going, Mr. Anderson, please, you gotta stop with the projects. We gotta concentrate on this wedding. I can't be doing projects around the house. And he says, oh no, don't you worry, you don't have to do a thing. I'll do everything. You know, famous last words, I'll do everything. Well, people, here's what happens. You know, I work nights, all right? So the guy is planned for the tree man to come on the day when I'm not working nights, when I'm working my days, and they would have cut down the trees during my day shift, and, you know, I would be none the wiser. But of course, being a general contractor, they don't ever come when they say they're going to come. So when does the guy come? He comes on the day that I'm supposed to be sleeping, where I've worked a full... Oh, I want to swear so badly. I worked a full bloody night shift, and then I come home thinking, oh, I'm going to sleep all day, and then I'll go back to work for my second night shift, and knock, knock, knock on the door, it's the man with the chainsaw and the boom truck to cut down the fucking trees. So that day, I didn't get any sleep, and then I had to go back to work, and... Oh yeah, not only that, like I had a bloody fucking fire, like a real fire. You know, sometimes we have little quick little fires and, you know, send a bunch of fire trucks, the fire gets put out, and bing, bam, boom, you're done. In about 2 or 3 hours, the whole affair is over and you carry on with your life. Well, of course not. Not lucky Faye, the driver. No, we have a major gong show 6,000 square foot house catch on fire. 6,000 square feet, people! The whole fucking thing was gutted. It was destroyed. So, okay, anyway, so enough of that. So I have to work all, no sleep, 6,000 square foot fire, two night shifts, and then I got to live with these guys with the chainsaws hammering down the trees. Oh, okay, and if so, fine, we survive. I get through the two nights. But the thing is, it's, you know, famous last words, oh, you won't have to do anything. Well, the guys, the tree cutters, they, because we weren't willing to pay for them to haul away the trees, and because we burn wood in our fireplace for heat in the winter, we're keeping the trees, because we're going to use them for firewood. And that means we have to clean up the mess from four trees, 3.5 trees being cut down, complete with branches and all this kind of stuff. And people, these are not tiny trees. They're like 50-foot cedar trees with full-fledged evergreen greenery branches. Well, so guess what we're doing? I come home from my night shift, and we go and we have to rent a wood chipper and a chainsaw, and we spend the next 2 days chipping up branches and bucking up trees into, 18-inch firewood length pieces. I am just at the end of my rope. Oh, so I got mad at Mr. Anderson and I yelled at him and I said, no more projects. Of course, I had to pay for that in a big way. I'm telling you, my knees are sore, people. My knees are so sore. So, that's what's been going on around the castle. I'm telling you, though, it does look nice. Look, we got the new little driveway for a little green truck with a big heart. We have a bit more sunshine coming down onto the property for the wedding. So it does look pretty good. But I have not done a single thing to get ready for this bloody wedding. Good God. So I'm off today. Today is the big day. Doing all of the wedding chores. I got today and tomorrow before I have to go back to work. Oh, now I got to tell you about work. Oh, my God, people. So now it's a month before my wedding. And, usually when I'm at work, I can cheat and I can do little side projects and prepare and things like that, and in the lull times. Well, now, I've taken on a big project at work. I'm writing a manual or rewriting or whatever, fixing up a user manual for the software that we use to dispatch fire trucks. So I'm doing that. That's one big thing. And now I have to train a new dispatcher, train a dispatcher from scratch. That's a month-long commitment, people. Every day for the next month at work, I have a dispatcher to train. So you know what that means? No free time for wedding planning. Like, not a minute. And not only that, but teaching people is hard work. Like, it's a brain drain. I'm going to be exhausted. I'm going to be dead, people. You're going to come to the wedding, and I'm going to be propped up like a scarecrow, and I'm just going to, I do. Like, oh, my God, man. What am I going to do? So, perhaps I'm feeling a little stressed out. I'm sure everything is going to be fine. I worked out, I have about 12 actual days I have 12 days that I can actually prep for the wedding. So As long as I'm organized, and as long as I do something every day for the wedding, I'm fairly confident that we'll get her pulled off in time. So, people, did you hear Big Fatty's last Friday show? Like, that fucking thing, there were like 6 bumpers and intros and music beds and, like, he, I'm sure he only spoke for 3 minutes. In fact, there was so much of the bloody show of Big Fatty was taken up by the bumper music and the stings and stuff. He didn't even have enough time. He had to cover over with a breaking news. He had to, oh my God, people. 6 bumpers. Now he's even got music. Now he's got a bed of music for his fucking shopping list. Who, only Big Fatty could keep a captive audience reading off the fucking grocery receipt. Oh my God, Big Fatty. I don't know what to do about you. Oh, Big Fatty. You know, speaking of podcasts and things, I want to talk to Calvin from the Hello Waffles podcast. Who was talking about my marriage and how I'm so reluctant to get married. And it's, you know, I realize I complain a lot about being married. I don't want to come off as though I'm opposed to same-sex weddings or same-sex marriage, because I'm completely in favor of it. I think it's absolutely a necessity that we have recognition of same-sex rights. What I'm opposed to is, and I know, you know, all these homosexuals are out there. They've been fighting for years to have, you know, gay marriage recognized and relationships recognized for what they are, real, true, and loving relationships. And here I'm saying, oh, fucking wedding. Who wants to be married? My point, you know, I'm all in favor of being able to get married, and I'm very grateful. Like who else in the world can come complain now that we have the right here? I mean, isn't this the very thing we fought for the right to be able to complain about this new commitment that we're able to make? So I'm in favor of same-sex marriage. The thing that I'm really concerned about is this whole thing where your wedding has to be a certain way, and where we have to have a tuxedo, and we have to have a white wedding cake, and we have to have invitations, and even though we in the gay community are forging forward and creating our own unconventional wedding events, there still is a certain amount of historic ceremony that we are required to follow, and that's what I'm not in favor of. I think we hold too closely to the traditional opposite gender stereotypes, and I don't like it. I don't want my wedding to be like that. Yet this is what I'm spending all my time on to create, is an event that is what people are expecting it to be, and that is what I'm opposed to. Like, I would much rather have, like, a rave or a circuit party with half-naked men in, you know, like, doing silk trapeze acts and stuff like that. I want to have clowns. Clowns out behind the urinals. Handing out balloons. But I don't think that may not be appropriate. I'm told that that's not appropriate. Oh, so that's Mr. Anderson dinging away there. So I don't wish to belittle the fact that I can with all the ease with much ease, I'm able to go and get a wedding license and get myself married off. So it is a wonderful thing. And I'm going to enjoy it, and I'm doing this because I want to. And while we're on the topic of... Sorry, this is going to be a long... This is my last show of June, people. I'm going to get it all out. Everything's coming out. I just want to say to JR from the Hello Waffles podcast as well. You know, JR is not doing his show because he doesn't want... He's concerned that Calvin will be... or that Calvin is concerned that there's too much sex talk. That JR is always going on about the sex talk. But I think this is vital. Calvin and JR, this is vital. You guys are in the Mecca, the homosexual Mecca. And we, you know, there's a whole bunch of us homosexuals out here who... have struggled all our lives to reconcile our homosexuality and our lives and experiences, where, you know, we come from small towns, we live here out in the sticks, where, you know, where being gay is a challenge, where it's a risk to hold your hand with your same-sex partner and to express yourself in the unique ways that we gay people do. And, you know, you guys living in San Francisco, I think it's very important that we hear your stories about the freedom that you experience, about how you can live in your city as individuals and same-sex partners without any sort of, you know, with very little concern for what people might think or for your safety. And I think it's very important that you share your experiences of your sexual exploits, your sexual freedom, your gender freedom. And I cherish those ideas and the ability that you have to live your life. And I think that you should be sharing that. So I hope that JR will come back to the podcast. And I hope, it is my wish that JR feels free to express all the things that might carry on, that go on in San Francisco and in these places where, you know, this freedom of sexuality has been gained. So please, please don't stop. Please be a beacon for those gay people who are not yet out of the closet, and be a guiding light for us to build a world where gender and sexuality is no longer an issue. Oy vey. What a preacher. I'm preaching, people. Praise the Lord. Let me turn on my radar detector. Oh, God. Okay, now, folks, I'm going to tell you about the sad, sad news now. This is quite distressful. And I come to you with this news with quite a bit of trepidation and shame and sadness. I have to tell you about the death of a loved one in my family. This is what has happened here, is the crossfire, you know, as the Deliverator, is dead. I killed it, people. We were out driving on a lovely early Saturday morning with no traffic, and the Deliverator and I were involved in an accident, and that gorgeous little red sports car is dead. It is a complete write-off. I totaled it, and it is no longer with us. And in fact, one of the chores for me today is to go to lay over the last rites on the Deliverator and to collect my personal items, to collect my George and Atlanta CD out of the CD player and pick up the bits and pieces of it and take it, well, take what's left of it home. So, it is an unfortunate thing, and I am saddened, I am very saddened to lose that car. It was a great, great car, and it served me very well. It performed exceptionally well in that accident and protected me from considerable injury. So, the old Deliverator's gone, and I will miss that car. You know, it got us, I really like that car, and I'm kind of upset that it's gone. I'm kind of upset that, smashed it up, and it, of course, was completely my fault. What do you expect, people? You hear the way that I drive that car. It had to happen at some point. It had to happen, so. Lo and behold, it did. So, I pranged it up. And, I bet you if you look at the show art for this show, you'll see, you'll see a picture of the Deliverator as it, now sits in a crumpled, wrecked mess. Oh, I shouldn't be laughing. It's really not funny, but what are you going to do? You know, life goes on. So there'll be no more Deliverator, boys and girls. No more little red sports car. It had such a great engine in that car. And it handled like so, such fun to drive. I'm going to miss it. I'm going to miss it a lot. I feel very bad for that car because it was in really good shape and I really took care of it and I really enjoyed driving that car. But this is it's an opportunity now to get a different car. You know, I don't know what's going to happen. We might buy an electric car, or I might get another one of my dream cars. It's not going to happen here very soon. It'll be a few months before I buy another car. Got to get through this bloody wedding. And then when that happens, I'll think about what to do next. Perhaps I will convert the little green truck with a big heart to all electric. That's something of interest. But I would also like to get a TVR 350E. That would be my ultimate dream, but we'll see. That's a pipe dream. That is a goal that is just a little too far out of reach, probably, at this time. But you never know, folks. You never know. So, I'm fine, by the way. I came out of that accident with nary a scratch at all. So I was not hurt. Nobody else was hurt. It was on a deserted road, which is, you know, I usually only drive like a maniac on deserted roads. And there was considerable, I was in a monsoon, people. The roads were very slick and very wet. And I was out hooning around on an old country road, so. And there were no other parties involved. It was completely my own fault. In any case, I'm sure there'll be thousands of questions from people about this. But this is all I will share at this time. So I guess that'll be it for me. I'm going to shut down this show at this time. And you will still hear from me. I've got a two or three episodes of the Pink Wheelnuts Garage, which I will be editing and putting out on Fridays for your consumption. But until probably after the wedding, which is July the 6th, and after Scotty the little Aussie Battler comes to visit, this will be probably the last of what you'll hear from the Pink Wheelnuts podcast until all of that occurs. So you can email me at podcast@pinkwheelnuts.com if you want to know more about what happened with the Deliverator. And until July, take care, folks. Oh, dear. Poor car.